Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
My next guest has been at the epicentre of major military decisions. She's the first female Deputy Secretary General in NATO, and she's worked as an arms expert in the Obama administration. Rose Gottemuller is in Dublin giving a talk on women, peace and security. And she's been telling me why it's important to have women in the room when military decisions are being discussed.
I find that women tend to be problem solvers, and they are looking for the answer. They're looking for the way to get value out of any particular problem for everybody in finding a resolution. And in that way, I think about it as women being ready to look for the judicious compromise. They're not stuck in a zero-sum game. They always say, all right, let's see how we can solve this problem so everybody gets something out of the answer.
Of course, when you say that about women, it then demands of me the question, are men not as good at problem solving, or are men not as good at bringing all sides together?
Well, the history shows that over the centuries, men have usually been the dominant force in all negotiations, and we've had successful negotiations over the years. I think women cut to the chase a little faster. I think they probably save everybody time by being willing to look for the compromise early on.
You have been in and around the world of politics and conflict for a very long time. You've worked with Obama in his administration. You're a specialist in the whole area of Russia. How would you describe the state of our world at the moment? You know, bearing in mind the Middle East situation at the moment, the tensions with Russia, the emergence of China. How is our world?
Our world is, I like to think of it at this moment, as being at a crossroads. We say that practically every year, but I see that there are important developments. We see in Afghanistan, for the first time in many years, some hard-driving negotiations going on. Yes, they are at a stopping place at the moment, but nevertheless, for the first time in many years in Afghanistan, there is the thought that there could be a peace and reconciliation process, and Afghanistan could move in the right direction. But still, obviously, there's lots of work still to be done there. We do see Russia being in the place of challenging the international world order, talking about the necessity of moving into an area of values that it would espouse and try to encourage others to pick up. So that means that things like the seizure of Crimea, they've been able to justify in that way. We don't see it that way. We believe in the basic UN principles and values, sovereignty, territorial integrity, the rule of law. None of these have changed in the last years from our perspective. So we do see Russia as challenging that order. And we're interested also in where China is headed, because China is not a state that is present in NATO's area of operation. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization works in the Euro-Atlantic space, but China is beginning to come to us by investing heavily in Europe, by bringing also its military forces. Sometimes that can be quite advantageous. We worked very well with China on the counter-piracy campaign in 2015 off the Horn of Africa. So I do think that there are a lot of countries who are moving in different directions, and we need to, in that case, look for the opportunities of cooperation as well as possible challenges that may ensue.
In relation particularly to Afghanistan and to Russia, and first of all, Afghanistan, were you supportive when you heard that President Trump had invited the Taliban to Camp David for peace talks?
Yes, we have been very supportive overall of the work of Ambassador Khalilzad in Doha, the work he's been doing to bring the Taliban to the negotiating table, carefully hearing him out when he's come to NATO to brief us, and but generally very, very supportive. I think that the efforts the American administration has carried through in general have been, from NATO perspective, very, very positive in bringing us closer to peace and reconciliation. But NATO also has recognized that there's a lot more work to be done. If some agreement is reached with the Taliban, that doesn't mean that we have gotten any distance on peace and reconciliation, and that will require all Afghan parties to be at the table. So as far as Camp David is concerned, we just saw that as an important part of the, possibly an important part of the ongoing negotiations, but, you know, negotiations sometimes take a pause, and in this case, they've taken a pause.
And in relation to Russia, you mentioned Crimea, there's also Ukraine. How would you characterize, though, in all that is happening, that relationship now between President Trump and Vladimir Putin?
From NATO's perspective, you know, we always pursue what we call a dual-track approach with Russia. We have a deterrence and defense angle to our work, which means we ensure that if our allies are attacked by whatever country, they are able to defend themselves. But on a day-in, day-out basis, they are deterring such attacks. And that is an important strain of our work. But we also are very firm. The other side of the dual track from our perspective is dialogue. And so we do believe in dialogue with Russia. We have had a NATO-Russia Council going on even since the Russians seized Crimea in 2014. We've stressed that dialogue is important at a period when the relationship is not so good. And in addition, we have high-level military-to-military contacts that have gone on steadily. So our Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg, has always emphasized that that dialogue is necessary with Russia. I agree with him. And so from the NATO perspective, dialogue between the leaders of the United States and Russia can have a positive effect.
I want to talk as well about your own position now within NATO. It's coming to an end.
It's an odd facet of NATO policy that once one reaches one's 65th birthday, I'm letting your listeners in on a secret. I've turned 65. It's necessary to retire, and so actually I've been fortunate in that I've had a special dispensation to continue into my 66th year, but I knew that I would not be extended beyond that. From NATO perspective, I'm too old for the job. Huh. Well, let's see what the future will bring, but I'm not giving up contributing, I hope.
Rose Gottemuller, Deputy Secretary General of NATO. She's speaking at an event at the Institution of International and European Affairs today in Dublin.